Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special childhood, here it goes.
Some of the first recollections I have are of my mother and father giving me a guitar for my 6th birthday. And then we moved from Vernon, Texas, where I was born, to Fort Worth, Texas. And World War II was going on at the time, and I had uncles and cousins who would come by our house in Fort Worth to play and sing. So we would undo the strings on the guitar and put the microphone inside and put the strings back on the guitar, and we had an amplifier. I remember my Uncle Kenneth played guitar and was an early influence. My father taught me how to play the guitar. And the first song I learned was You Are My Sunshine. I learned my first songs when I was 6 and 7, and then when I was 8 years old, I moved back to Vernon, Texas, and I was on a radio show there. Every Saturday there was a talent show, so you could go down to the radio station and sing your songs, and I went every Saturday, and I went, I kept coming and showing up so often that they asked me to be a regular. So that was when I was 8 years old. So I was singing on Vernon Radio then. And then I moved to Wink, Texas, which is West Texas, and started singing for the school assembly, you know, in the auditorium at school. There would be a play, and then I would sing that with my guitar. So that was at the age of 10. Then by the time I was 15, I had my own group, and we were playing on radio stations in West Texas. We were backstage, and I met the boys and Ike Everly, their father. And everybody backstage was pitching songs. They would sit down and say, sing 4 or 5 songs for the boys. And I said, I don't think I'll do that. I won't impose on them. I started to leave the dressing room, and they said, Roy, do you have any songs? I said, I've got one song. So I sat down and sang that for them, and they liked it very much and wrote the lyric down on the top of a shoebox, took it back to Nashville and recorded it, and it was a code number one with All I Have to Do is Dream. Crying was on the heels of Running Scared, that it was number one, and then the next record was Crying. On the other side of Crying was Candyman, and it was just a down-home blues thing. And then I was a bit afraid of crying professionally because you didn't in the industry follow a ballad with a ballad. But then I said, well, I don't care what that's all about. So Crying was about, it was a true story. I had seen a girlfriend of mine that I had broken up with, and I waved to her, and I should have driven the car right over to where she was. But I played it cool and drove on down the street about a block and started big old tears in my eyes, you know. And then when I got old enough to relate the story, and the thought was that I was all right for a while until you made contact again, until you either saw her or she called you on the phone or whatever. And in this case, I saw her. And so it was... it was a feeling that it was not that difficult to write. It was difficult to conjure that song up. It's a totally true song, because when that song came out, I don't think anyone had accepted the fact that a man should be able to cry when he wants to cry.
Yeah, I can do it at will. But it didn't necessarily come naturally. I used to go to films, and I used to go to the movie, and I saw a guy do that in a film. He growled with his voice, and so I had to practice and rehearse a little bit when I was a kid. But I've been doing that all my life. It comes pretty easy if your throat's not too dry.
I don't think I've been any more lonely than anyone else. Although if you grow up in West Texas, there's a lot of ways to be lonely in West Texas. But I wrote Only the Lonely in a car outside the house, because we didn't have enough room inside the house. And So I wrote it in the car, and that was a lonely situation to write in. But writing is an alone kind of thing. And I don't know, I think maybe because the first million seller was only the lonely that people might think that I've been lonelier than some others, you know. When 65, in January, I come back to Australia, this time with the Rolling Stones. This is the year after the Beach Boy tour. And the Stones and I became friends and exchanged gifts and everything. They were pretty wild bunch, you know, still are a wild bunch. And they like Pretty Woman very well, you see. Pretty Woman with a beat that's like chump, 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 just like dum, 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 dum. I can't get no satisfaction. Anyway, they like Pretty Woman well enough to go back and write I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Pretty Woman.
Local television show in West Texas, and everybody who came through to play the Odessa Coliseum would come on the show to promote that show. And of course, I appeared on the same show as well. And Johnny Cash came through, and I asked John about getting on a record label, and he said, call Sam Phillips and tell him I told you to call. And I did that, and Sam said, Johnny Cash doesn't run my record company, and click, hung up the phone. But I had recorded song called Ooby Dooby at Norman Petty's studio in Clovis, New Mexico, and we sent that to Sam Phillips, and he called me straight away and said, can you be here in 3 days? So I got on the label very quickly after that.
Well, I've worked longer than 30 minutes on a lot of occasions. I would sit down to write, and usually with a co-writer, and we would work for maybe a week or two, and everything we wrote wasn't really very good, or we didn't get anywhere. And all of a sudden, inspiration came, and most of the songs took about 20 to 30 minutes, the good ones. The bad ones we worked on for about 6 months. Songs are gifts, you know, they're blessings. They just sort of drop in your lap.
if God's good to you, well, then you usually have to write you get the song when he wants you to get it. But I always look at my co-writer and shake his hand, and I look up and say, thanks, and there it is right between us. I was on my way to Dothan, Alabama, to play a concert, and I chartered a private plane, and it was a low-wing plane, I remember, and the sun was very bright, so I put on the sunshades and put the clear pair to the side. And when I got to Dothan, I got off the plane and left the clear pair on the airplane and didn't realize it until the sun went down. I was busy rehearsing and everything. All of a sudden, there I was going to perform at night in sunglasses, and I felt very embarrassed. And I got through the night. And then the next day, flew to Atlanta, New York, London, and opened the Beatle tour that evening with the same pair of sunglasses. And I was still worried about that. But no one sort of minded. And that tour was, it made the Beatles and myself in Europe and internationally, I guess. It was a really important tour. And with all these photographs around the world with sunshades, I was sort of stuck instant image with that. So it wasn't something I designed or thought of. I'll just do this and be cool. It was a mistake.
That was Roy Orbison, short interview there. He did it on, I don't know exactly what date it was, just said Roy Orbison interview over there, Play Direct. Thought you might be interested in it. I'll play a little music now. This is Robert Morgan Fisher and Don't Want to Go to Mars.
One, two, one. Durrell has a dream, just like Martin Luther King. It's a dream that he has passed on to his son. It's a dream to be an astronaut, but not just any astronaut. We're talking first man on the fourth rock from the sun. Calculator in the crib starts young Torrey's trip. Learned his times tables by the age of three. At five he knew his long division calculus by the age of seven. Now he's nine and doing trigonometry. Don't you want to go to Mars? Hey, don't you want to go to Mars? Now that we've come this far, don't you want to go to Mars? Aaliyah's in Iraq, don't know when she's coming back. Yeah, mama's been gone 14 months or more. Sends pictures through the internet, landscape red and desolate, like an evil Eden for the God of War. Don't you wanna go to Mars? Hey, don't you wanna go to Mars? Now that we've come this far, don't you wanna go to Mars? There's a slave ship in 1688. Sailing across that stormy middle passage. There's a spaceship in 2028. Like a silver bottle carrying a message.
It's a joke, but they're in pain, man. Lately, Tories, apathetic, sad, and bored. The last they heard, Aaliyah had been stopped, lost to Haditha. If they could only follow that old drinking gourd. Don't you want to go to Mars? Hey, don't you want to go to Mars? Now that we've come this far, don't you want to go to Mars? Durrell has a dream, just like Martin Luther King. It's a dream that he has passed on to his son.
Robert Morgan Fisher, don't you want to go to Mars? Next up, it's Ought to Be a Highway.
I'm riding across this wasteland, 6 days west of a town called Cheyenne. I got a map and a compass, a horse and a gun. Gonna find me some gold in the California sun. Now this old horse, she's made good time. Now I've got these mountains to climb. And everything I own is in these saddlebags. But they're weighing her down, she's starting to drag. There ought to be a highway through these hills. Some prairie schooners with 18 wheels and a million horsepower would carry your load. Yes, there ought to be a highway, there ought to be a road. Now I'm hungry and tired, thirsty as well. Need me a hot bath and I'm feeling like hell. And I ain't seen a woman since I don't know when. I've been talking to myself like a crazy man. There ought to be a highway, I hope they build one soon. And every few miles a big saloon. And a hot meal and a woman for to hold your hand. Yes, there ought to be a highway running o'er this land.
Running o'er this land.
Robert Morgan Fisher, There Ought to Be a Highway. Next from him, it's Angel Within. Oh, yes.
My boys recognized her, said that girl gets around. Mama, watch out, she's the talk of the town. I shooed them away and invited her in. From the cut of her clothes, she was well versed in sin. Her body was buxom, her face it was worn. I could tell right away she'd been working. Knows how she found me, this rough little flower. I teach them to sing, and I charge by the hour. Many a young girl wants to carry that torch, but they first have to make it past my front porch. Some come through the website, some by word of mouth, but I'm awful particular about who enters my house. Cause I'm a good Christian woman, or I'm trying to be. Got two boys that I raised since my husband left me. And I don't think it's fair to judge someone's skin. Cause in each one of us, there's an angel within. Angel within. I quit the skin trade, and I'm now 6 weeks clean. I'm through with that life, I just wanna sing. Thought I should act before kindness fails, so I pulled down the shade and started some scales. Make a joyful noise unto
the angel within. Angel.
Morgan Fisher, Angel Within. The last song from him today, Unimpressed.
I've been making notes for a novel. I'm gonna call that novel Unimpressed, 'cause that's what I am. It's about a punk with junk in his yard who complains all about how his life's so hard, but he's got a bathtub full of mess and a dream. He had a pit bull named Time Bomb who chewed off the mailman's face. Said it was all the mailman's fault, but that he should just run in place instead of running away on that sad, sad day when a boy lost his dog. Oh no, with no love lost for the aliens who won't be bossed. And he's bleaching my bath water for whiter whites. The bad guy is a woman whose papers aren't in order. So he steals her native born son and sends a woman back across the border. Now America's safer, one less brown skin raper. God bless our family values. Oh no, I'm unimpressed. I've been making notes for a novel. I'm gonna call that novel Unimpressed. What I am. It's about a jock who mocks the rules. Anabolic roids are his favorite fuel, and he just learned how to spell his own name. He's never cracked a book, but he's been booked on crack. You might say he's a little stiff, but he knows why I pay him the big bucks, because the ball goes over the fence. Now he's living in shame, asterisk by his name, in the holy baseball record book. I'm unimpressed. In the end, I send everyone to jail, but the woman is the only one who makes bail, 'cause her native-born son wins the World Series. And the xenophobic gov with no love lost turns out to be a Sicilian boss who gets punked in prison by the punk who gets chopped up into little chunks by a pit bull that's owned by the jock. And if you haven't guessed, I'm unimpressed, but I'm not a heartless cynic. Oh no, that's what I am.
gonna get impressed by Dio and Last in Line. Hang on to your little everything you got.
Yeah.
Dio, the last in line. What a great voice he had. Left us a couple of years ago, unfortunately. One of the biggest little men you'll ever meet in rock and roll. That was Dio. That was a sneak peek for tomorrow morning's show. We got Dio and Magic Red rock for you tomorrow. So come on back and hear some more. Thanks for listening today, and have a nice day or morning wherever you happen to be right now. Goodbye.